Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, I don't wear a watch, so I'll do my best. In this session entitled Emerging Powerhouses in Science and Technology, I've entitled my talk, A New World Order, or An Ordered New World, Re-establishing the Link Between Science and Dignity. Ladies and gentlemen, the fabric of our fragile planet is ripping all around us. Our world is suffocating, and our people are suffering the indignities of oppression, poverty, fear, and hopelessness. As globalization makes our world smaller and our shared challenges ever greater, we are all failing to react to our greatest evolutionary challenges. In less than a generation, the old rules of power and partisanship have ceased to apply. We have fought, consumed, lied, and misled our way into an age without leadership. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is not a time to talk of passing the baton in a relay race of rapid and reckless development. It is a time to stop running and to start working together for the good of a planet in turmoil. The scientific achievements of our well-established powerhouses have brought mixed blessings to the world's people. Indeed, for many hundreds of millions, science has been allowed to do very little to improve living standards, opportunities, or hopes for a better future. In our modern and mismanaged world, so many of the benefits of mankind's scientific achievements have been limited to a comfortable minority of our global population, to the wealthier Western world, and to the elites of our world, the developing world. Now more than ever, it is the use and abuse of scientific ingenuity that will define mankind's right to be called just and civilized. It is in this context that we must consider the changing landscape of global science. Our planet is becoming borderless, but our journey into the future need not be rudderless. We are indeed naive if we believe that this challenging new century can see business as usual for science and big business, albeit in new premises. The handover of scientific and economic leadership cannot be considered in isolation of global currents in power, politics, and the increasingly desperate scramble for resources. The fact is, most of our most pressing challenges cannot be tackled at national or regional levels. Climate change, energy, poverty, disease, underdevelopment, and WMD proliferation, these are all very real assaults on our prospects for survival, and they demand both technological and policy responses. They require the deployment of science in a considered and cooperative way, a response that places policies ahead of politics. We must all make certain that rational and universal science is informing policy making at regional and global levels. In those challenging areas that will define our immediate future, cooperative and creative science must help to define policy objectives. We must also be clear from the outset about our goals and our understanding of scientific universality. I am not naive enough to think that altruism will instantly guide our future global progress, but I know that ignoring the real issues in our world and our own societies will only lead to disaster. Any gains made without considering the very real issues we all face can all only be short-term. So the emerging powerhouses in science and technology must be aware that this new globalized age requires a globalized approach. In order to avoid fracturing between cultures and within societies, science must be given back to the people as a tool for positive change, to promote opportunities, and to guarantee security. In my own West Asia, North Africa region, injustice, unemployment, illiteracy, and poverty caused the unbearable tension between governments and societies that led to the Arab Spring. The stifling of scientific freedom by a greedy elite contributed greatly to the upheaval. Just a few weeks ago, at the World Economic Forum special meeting on economic growth and job creation in the Arab world, calls were made to address youth issues and to promote larger economic cooperation between Arab countries and, more importantly perhaps, within Arab countries. Many younger participants at the meeting emphasized that ideology was not the cause of the region's unrest. Dignity, opportunity, democracy, and justice are above politics, but they must underpin all policies when planning the future of the Arab world. And this is where science offers hope, where hope has been absent for so many generations. The Arab Spring brilliantly highlighted that this is the age of knowledge and that the young people of the Middle East are thirsty for that knowledge. They can imagine a far better world than the one they were born into, and they will not be constrained by the physical and mental borders that trapped their parents and grandparents. But this is our world too, and as we consider the benefits that science will bring to the few, please also remember that a vital part of rebuilding societies and of promoting future growth is the re-establishment of a link between science and dignity. Only science, when properly supported, can help to fulfill the hopes of our people, for science is humankind's only possible defense against decline and destruction. Of course, it is also science that might guarantee our slow or sure destruction if it is applied in the wrong way or controlled for the wrong reasons. We must all ask ourselves why so much scientific research is driven by elite consumer needs in our societies rather than being applied to achieving global goals that could improve the lives of millions and bring stability and security to our planet. And we must ask ourselves if we wish this situation to continue in this new age. Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, it is my belief that the abuse and misuse of science is continuing for the benefit of privileged minorities around the world. Perhaps, more worryingly, the growth and development of scientific knowledge is being hampered by short-term economic interests, and the stability of our world is threatened as a result. Although the world's rich may feel secure in a garden of technical delights, we should all be aware that the poor can see over the fence. We shouldn't be afraid, however, not if we are prepared to share and to engage with the forgotten human resources of our world. Where fear ends, that is where progress truly begins. As developing nations, some with more power than others, we must question our notions of the ownership of science. Should our greatest innovative tool belong to a narrow echelon of a vast global population, or do we owe a debt to the marginalized majority of our world? I believe that history, recent and not so recent, has answered that question. According to the World Bank, 100 million jobs must be created in the Middle East by 2020 to avoid a catastrophe for a dynamic up-and-coming generation. We have already seen the effects of mass unemployment and lack of opportunity in Egypt and elsewhere, but the youth who help to topple their leaders still cannot find jobs. The journey to stability and security in our region has barely begun, and there is much hard work ahead to ensure that opportunities are available to all. In my own country, joblessness is a characteristic feature of youth. Almost 60% of job seekers are below the age of 25, but countries cannot act alone to make real changes. To build a secure and equitable world, we must ensure that states and regions work together to guarantee growth, stability, and justice. Ladies and gentlemen, borders mean little in these days of globalization and migration. Powerhouses come and powerhouses go, and new generations quickly forget the very recent past. Let us commit to sharing knowledge and to nurturing real progress, but let us do it now so that we may begin to forge a world in which borders disappear peacefully and for the right reasons. The true challenges we all face are not ideological, but existential. International diplomacy and trade must, therefore, facilitate global science. How diplomacy connects with science and how the developed and less developed economies forge relationships will determine whether the new age of science and global trade will emerge with a sustainable framework for development or will remain bound by inequality and divisive ideology. Science and sound reasoning must inform and reform the political discourse that any genuine political and social reform must be guided by science and knowledge. So let us not concentrate on new powerhouses. It is far more important that we get our one shared and scarred house in order. Thank you very much.